Blog Talk Radio.
Through everyday trials of life, the enemy will have you question your very existence. So I come to encourage you, the believer, that
God made me. He made me who I am.
Come on and say it with me. God made me.
God made me.
He made me.
He made me who I am.
Put a smile on your face and lift your head.
God made me.
Feeling down, but pick yourself up and say it.
He made me who I am.
So repeat these words after me. Say it. Wondering what tomorrow is gonna bring. But if God cares for the lilies of the field and the fowl of the air, ask yourself, how much more does He care for me? That's why you can say, I am a conqueror.
Good evening to you one and all. I'd like to welcome you to a new edition of my show tonight called Majestic Living. God bless you, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I am your host tonight, Deborah Shy. First and foremost, you were listening to the Mississippi Mass Choir singing God Made Me, God Made Me Who I Am. I just love that song, but I must also say I do not own the rights to that song. But what a great intro for my show. The words are so on point, and I just love how it's declaring our kingdom citizenship. So when you get a chance, just listen to it and just rejoice in it, because it very much speaks on what I'm talking about today and what majestic living really means. Today, the topic is going to be called Kingdom Culture, or the Culture in the Kingdom. But before I jump into that today, to that teaching, I think I need to recap a little bit briefly about what majestic living is, or what it means for people who missed my first show. So I'm gonna do that first. So as the song says, God made me. God made me who I am. That means when we became a born-again believer, we are now a new creation in Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are co-heirs with Christ. So that means our status has changed. We are now royalty. We are, as 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, we are a royal priesthood. But that's something we got to make claim hold of. You know, we got to understand and make that claim of who and who we are, whose we are in Christ. And without that understanding, you can never experience or live life as a kingdom citizen to the utmost. We are, so you got to know deep down in your heart and in your spirit that we are sons and daughters of the King. That's the revelation that we got to obtain. And I just say thank you, Jesus, because I got it. How they say, I got it. I caught that revelation. And I encourage you to do the same. Say, I got it. I got it. You know, I know who I am, but even more so, I know whose I am. I'm going to encourage you to listen to my first show for the full breakdown. You know, there's going to be a replay link available for that broadcast, as well as for this show. So you can find it after the show is finished. There'll be a link, and you'll be able to listen to both shows. And I hope that you take time to do that. In the meantime, feel free to inbox your questions or comments. You could do that to the Royal Court has a page, and I also have a page called Majestic Living Ministries on Facebook. So if you have any questions or comments that you don't want to call in with, you could do that to the inbox. You could also send them to my inbox on my personal page, and that's just my name, Deborah Shy. So you could do that as well. But I also want to tell you later on in the show, the lines will be open. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 619-924-0763. Once again, the number is 619-924-0763. And you'll be able to join the conversation live and talk to me. What you would do is press the number one on your keypad, and you would be placed in the call queue. When you hear the last four digits of your number, your line will be unmuted, and you will be on the show live with me. So feel free to do that, and I'll give you that number later on in the show as well. Tonight I want to discuss kingdom culture, or culture in the kingdom, either way how you want to say it. Pretty sure there would be a part two, because it's so much to this. There's so much that needs to be said and broken down, and I think I'm going to bring a guest on, so I will have to do this by myself so they can help me break this down. So stay tuned for that as well. But let's go. I'm going to jump right ahead into this. I guess we should start by saying, what does culture mean? We need to know, you know, when we say kingdom culture, we need to know what, I think we know what kingdom means, but we need to know what culture means. So culture is basically your pattern of behavior, your belief system, or knowledge, you know, learned behavior and knowledge that you were taught or trained. You know, we were taught or trained by your family, you know, or your, you know, or wherever region or a country you lived in, you know, because every region, wherever you live, you got different culture. I remember when I moved to the South, I was in culture shock because I'm very much an uptown girl, city, metropolitan type woman, and I moved to the South, and I definitely was in culture shock because their ways are absolutely not the ways of the big city. So That's what that means. And there's a different standard, how they do things and operate. So, you know, culture is also your moral compass and values. Okay, and in the kingdom, we call it God's principles and standards. That's what that means, really. And here's what you need to understand when we say God's principles and standards. The measure of your obedience to God's principles and standards is what separates you from carnal and kingdom. You know, I've got to say that again. You know, it's the measure of your obedience that separates you from being carnal and kingdom. And that's always the fight. You know, people have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And that's not how it's supposed to be. You know, because certain actions have no place truly in the kingdom, you know, in kingdom culture, you know, cussing and fussing, and you're quick to take offense, that's not kingdom, that's carnal. Yeah, I love Jesus, but hey, I cussed you out. No. That's not how it works, okay? Because first of all, you know, we don't, you know, if you're a kingdom, you don't carry yourself like that. You know, it's beneath you. It's absolutely beneath you. Because loyalty does not stoop down to that level. You know, when people do things to you or, you know, say the wrong things to you, you don't do it back to them because you know better and you have a standard that you have to uphold. So you're not going to stoop down to their level, okay, because you're still on your, you know, you're still on your throne. So, you don't stoop down to their level because you're a class act. And here's what you need to know about class. You're either born with it or not. So catch this revelation. As a born-again Christian, that comes with class. You got class. Now you can call yourself classy. Because guess what? That's the status. Your status has changed. You're now a class act. And you need to act like it, okay? You can't buy a class, you know, remember that as well. People think you can, but you can't buy a class. You either have it, you're either born with it, or you're not. And it's a privilege that comes with being a son or daughter of the King. So that's something you need to understand. And also, there absolutely should be a distinction between how you carry yourself in the world as a believer and how people operate who are as non-believers. And one of the biggest things, you know, I'm going to give you a list of a few things that you should understand, and it's a break, and I'll try to break down a little of them, and, you know, we'll go back and see. You know, the first, one of the main things, you know, the culture of the kingdom, it's about having values. You know, your values are what convicts you in your spirit. Okay, and without conviction, you'll do anything, you'll fall for anything, or you'll do anything. But when you have values, your heart will convict you. And, you know, and that's how you would conduct your life in a certain manner, because your heart's going to convict you. When you want to do wrong, you're going to do right, because your heart convicts you. So that's what having values means. And then, you know, the number two, I guess it would be, let me see, your priorities. What is first, what has first place or the most importance, how should I say, in your life? Is Christ the head of your life? That's what you need to ask yourself. And that means when you say, is Christ the head of your life, that means you put no one before him. He's first. What does Matthew 6, 31 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when you made God, giving him the first priority in your life, you're basically saying, Lord, I give you you have my yes, not my will, but your will be done in my life. That's what you're really saying. God, I just want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to speak what you want me to say. And wherever you lead me, I'm willing to follow. That's giving God first place in your life. You say that no matter what, here I am. I'm withholding nothing to follow you. So that's giving, that's, he's your priority. His ways are your priority, are not your ways. You lay down your will for his will. That's giving God first place in your life. And then your behavior. You know, your behavior is your action. And, you know, people like, what, you know, meaning what? So your actions, bottom line, I guess I would call that the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, you know, faithfulness, self-control. So when you practice the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that's a different, you know, people should see that. They say you should know you're a Christian by your love. So the fruit of the Spirit is one of the best ways to demonstrate that. You know, that's your behavior. That's how you demonstrate that with your behavior. You know, you won't get, you know, so offended or angry or bitterness or jealousy. You won't operate in that when you're operating in the fruit of the Spirit. And another big one that I like to talk about is your standards. A lot of people I found don't have standards. They don't have standards at all. You know, but you got to maintain some standards in your life. The standards is meaning you have a level of quality that you abide by and that you choose to operate in. So I always tell people you need to, you know, level up in your standards. A lot of people don't have standards. So that's very, very important part of the king's culture in the kingdom to have standards, you know, because that's who God is. God has standards, principles and standards that he wants us to live by. And we use his word to find them, you know, to find them. And then another one that, you know, in the culture of the kingdom is your morals. Your morals comes down to demonstrating integrity or lack of it. You know, this is your character. What else would it be? Compassion, having compassion for your fellow man, having empathy for your fellow man. That's morals. You know, choosing to do what's right over what the status quo is doing. You know, there's a thing people love to say, well, everybody's doing it. Well, guess what? Just because everyone's doing it, beloved, that does not mean it's right. You know, when crooks get caught, they love to say, well, he did it too. What about him? Well, you got caught. You both were wrong, but you were the one who got caught. So never use that quote that everybody's doing it, because it could be 100 people in the room and 99 doing wrong. That does not make it right. So set some standards. Set some standards for yourself. Because that's who we are as believers. We are set apart. So we should not be doing the same thing or behaving the same way, speaking the same way as non-believers. And the other thing is love. Everything comes down to love. Love is the center of everything. It's the root of everything. And love is all about love. You know, so we have to learn how to be love. You know, give love and, you know, and do love. And all that we say and all that we do, we should do it in love. You know, so love is a very, very major one, because God is love. So how can you say you love Jesus and you don't know how to operate in love? So that's a very, very major one that you have to get a hold of. Love is the key to everything. Another one that people don't like to talk about is dressing. And I know this is a big controversy, you know, when it comes to dressing, our attire. People love the quote that God said, come as you are. You know, because God said, I can come as I are. He's not concerned about what I'm wearing. And if I wear this or if I wear that, that don't mean I'm not saved. You know, people love to say that, but when God said, come as you are, he's talking about the condition of your heart. Please understand that. And here's something you need to understand as well. Even McDonald's requires a dress code. You can't wear tattoos. You can't come in there you can't work with purple hair and you know, flip-flops. They had a dress code. So if McDonald's, fast food, chain requires a dress code that has standards how you can dress, why do you think it's okay to represent the king? You're royalty on dress ratchet, okay? Royalty and ratchet does not go together last time I looked. You know, so if God has standards, you know, he wants modesty. Modesty is still the best policy. And here's another way. I'll give you another example. You know, when people say clothes don't matter, let's talk about the lady of the night, a prostitute. The first way you recognize that a woman is a prostitute, not because she's standing on a corner, it's because of her attire. She's usually exposing herself. She's half naked, and she's letting it be known, here I am. So she's making it known that she's a prostitute by her dress. She hasn't spoken before. She even speaks one word. You can look at it and say, that's a prostitute. Because a prostitute wears certain attire, catch that to let you know that she's a prostitute. So, yes, we should be modest in our dress. No, God does not have, rules that you have to wear this or wear that, that you can't wear lipstick or you have to look like a nun. No, no, no. That's people taking the word of God out of context. But he said you should be concerned how you represent yourself as a child or, a child of God. Absolutely. You should have some standards for yourself. As kingdom citizens, we got to understand that. You should not be okay dressing any kind of way. And I know we got to blame it on a lot of the mass market, gospel singers, and some churches have lowered their standards. The word really is compromise, and they compromise to get you to come in, but that's not great teaching. In fact, it's wrong teaching. They're teaching you wrong, and because so many people are okay with it, they think that it's right, but it's definitely not the right thing to do. So you got to know what God desires of you. Everything you do, you should want to please God. So when you look, your Bible tells you to examine yourself. So when you look in a mirror, you should ask yourself, does this represent the kingdom? Does this represent Christ? When you speak, you should ask yourself, if you're easy, if you're still using curse words or get offended very easily, you should ask yourself, am I representing Christ? And the answer is no. If you be truthful with yourself, you need to ask yourself, it's simple as that. And I'm going to go old school on you for a minute. Remember when your mama would tell you just before you were leaving the house, don't be out in these streets and forget who you are. Bring your shame and disgrace on a family name. That's how you carry yourself. You should carry yourself the same way. Don't forget what I taught you. That's what you would add too. So God says, don't forget. Keep in remembrance who you are in Christ. So when you walk and when you speak, when you go out, people should be able to see that you are, are a believer. If not, it's all in vain. If they can't tell the difference between you and a non-believer, something is absolutely wrong. That's not how it should be. And what does the Word of God say? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O God. So your words, you should set. So how should I say? So everything you do, it should be pleased. You should be concerned if it's pleasing in God's sight, because that should be your heart's desire, to please God. If you're keeping Him first in your life, if that's your priority, certain things are going to change. Certain places you are not going to go. Certain people you are not going to hang out with, because kings and queens do not hang out with peasants. I'm sorry. Eagles and what is it? Pigeons don't hang out together. So certain things gotta change in your life. So in order to get, because once again, let's go back to what culture is. It's a mindset. It's your belief system. It's your morals, how you carry yourself. So you got to go back. It's what you value. It's the priority. That's what the culture is. So when you have made that shift, and it's not a shift that happens overnight, every day I'm changing. Every day I pray that I strive to be better than I was yesterday. That's the goal. Perfection is not the goal, because you can't obtain perfection until you leave this earth. Perfection is when we're in glory with God. That's when you obtain perfection, not before. So don't seek perfection. Seek to be better than you were yesterday. Seek to do better, to speak better, to act better, that, you know, there should be a shift in your behavior, in your mindset. So that goes back to a transformation and a renewing of your mind. You got to have both. You got to have both. So that's part of the culture, too. You have to renew your mind. You have to have the mind of Christ. That's absolutely what you have to do. So, you know, that's how we, you know, you have to have a shared set of principles that you abide by. In other words, you know how they say, that's my M.O.? You know, that should be your M.O. of kingdom living. You know, modus operandi. You know, that's what that is, kingdom living. Having a set standards and principles, and those are the principles of God. That's what you use, and that's your standard. Jesus was the example, and he became the example. He was the example of how we should live. So, in order to live your best life, you have to change a few things. And people have a different perspective. You know, we see the hashtag all the time. I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. And when you look at these pictures, when people say that I'm living my best life, most of them are in exotic places on vacation, or they got a big fancy car, or they got a new home, and that's beautiful. That's wonderful. You know, God doesn't mind you having those things. We serve the God who's the King of Blame. So, you know, when you get to the pearly gate, you got to walk through be walking on streets of gold. So God doesn't mind you having these things. But understand this, those things are not living your best life. Those things are added to the abundant life, abundant living. Catch that. That comes from, you know, because what did I say from the beginning? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to it. So, you know, that's part of living your best life, okay? But living your best life is not majestic living. You know, people look at that, that's added to abundance living, because Jesus came for you to have life and life more abundantly. So don't mix that up, that thing, because these things can fade away. Okay, these things, you can lose these things in the blink of an eye, but you still got to have Jesus. Jesus said, I'll be with you forever. He's forever. So it's a difference. But a lot of people think that's living your best life. Those things are a part of abundant living, which is majestic living. That's what God desires. So that's two different things. And people need to understand the distinction to that. It's okay to have these things. Those things are added to abundant living. That's part of the abundance, those things. So catch, grab a hold of that. You know, I hope that I'm helping somebody out with what I'm saying tonight. I really do. But also, you know, so that's what prosperity really is. Prosperity is not things, you know, in the world, prosperity is how much of this or how much of that you got. That's how they measure success. But that's not majestic living is prosperity, but prosperity, it's wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. You know, you're healthy, wealthy, and wise in every area. That's God's desire for you to, you know, prosper in every area of your life, not just in material things, because what does the Word of God say? What good is for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? So you need to prosper in your spirit, in your soul, in air, in your health, in your finances, on a job, in your home, with your children. You want prosperity in every area. That's majestic living. And that's what we got to understand. So I'm going to give you the title of the phone number to call in again, because I know people have questions. Once again, the call-in line is 619-924-0763. Hit the number 1 on your keypad, and you'll be placed in the queue. Hit your last four digits of your number, your line will be unmuted. Also, I'm going to tell you how to reach me on social media. I am on Instagram under my name, just my name. I'm under Twitter under my name, and I share Twitter and Instagram from my Majestic Living page, because everyone's not on all social media pages. I understand that. So you can catch glimpses of Majestic Living on Twitter. I share all my Majestic Living from Facebook to Twitter automatically. So if you're on Twitter and maybe not on Instagram, you can follow me that way. You can also follow me. I have my own ministry page called Majestic Living Ministry. You can follow me there as well as on my personal page. That's my name, nothing fancy. I don't use hashtags or none of that, so just my name. So you can follow me there as well. So also, I want you to remember that after every show, I'm going to try to leave you with a little word. So this is what I want you to know today, that we all fall short of God's glory daily, and that's okay. You got to understand, that's okay, because every day we're striving. You know, it's a challenge every day. You know, we're striving. That's the goal, striving to do better than we did yesterday. So it's okay, because God's mercy is new every day, and that gives us another chance to get it right. You know, that gives us another chance for God to make the crooked places straight in our life. So remember that. So I'm telling you that to say, you know, the crown may be crooked at times, but it's been bought and paid for. So I want you to know, keep that crown, hashtag crown on. That's my hashtag for you, crown on. No matter what you've done, God will forgive you. He still loves you, and he'll never forsake and leave you. So hashtag crown on. There's so much more I'm going to be talking about with this, because this is a subject that I need to really unpack. But I think I need to stop right here, because I want to bring on a guest panelist who could share as well, because iron sharpens iron. So stay tuned for my next show, and I leave you with peace and love. And remember, God made you. God made you who you are. And stay tuned for the next edition of Majestic Living. God bless.